We're concluding 2023 here Sunday morning. And today I want to take us back to where we began this year with our theme for this year, to know the Word. That you and I may know the Word. Back in January, I explained that our theme, it has a double meaning, right? So what does know the Word mean? It means we want to know the Bible. We want to know what the Bible says. We want to know how the Bible works. How does it fit together? Is this just a random collection of books and authors across a massive period of time, or is it more than that? And I think we have seen together it is certainly more than that. We wanted to see how the Bible all fits together, how the Bible applies to life. What are those themes woven through the Scriptures? We've done that. It also means we want to know the God of the Bible, specifically the Logos or Word, as John 1 talks about here, which is God the Son, Christ Jesus the Lord. We want to know Christ. We want to know what He is like, how the Scriptures reveal Him, that we may love Him and worship Him. On Sunday mornings, all year long, that's what we've been seeking to do, that we may know the Word, that we may grow in our understanding of the Bible as a whole and grow in our understanding, our love, and our worship of Christ Jesus the Lord. Have you grown to know the Word in 2023? I hope so. This morning, let's look at this text. It is a massive text, and we are not going to do justice to it here this morning. Briefly, we're just briefly going to kind of make our way through John 1, verses 1 to 18. We're going to consider again the Word, God the Son, who has revealed the glory of the Father to us. Today, I don't aim to tell us something new. I don't aim to have a new truth, but for us to review the truths we've thought about all year, to review the old truths, the foundational truths of our faith. That as we conclude this year, as we begin a new year, we have fresh in our minds, believing in our heart who Christ is, the Son of God, the one who brings redemption to us. So church, know the Word, know Christ. So think with me here of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. For me this morning, the text that I'm looking at is the New American Standard Bible. So as I read some of the verses, they might read just slightly different from what you're looking at. There's a reason for that. There's some of the verses here, as we've talked about other times, that I believe, especially particularly verse 14, the New American Standard, the King James, the New King James actually translate a little bit better than the ESV. And I love the English Standard Version, so you know that's saying something. But I think that they actually get a little bit better, a little bit clearer. So that's why I'm using that here this morning. We can divide these verses, John 1, 1 to 18, in three sections. The first section there is verses 1 through 5, the preexistence of the Word in life and light. Verses 1 through 5 of this chapter, the preexistence of the Word in life and light. We began our year considering some of these very truths, and they came up again and again in our study of Colossians. We learned first, the first two verses, that the Word is God. The Scripture tells us that He has always been. It begins right there in that first verse, in the beginning. In the beginning. John, the disciple, the author of this gospel, specifically wants his readers, he wants that to trigger a Bible memory for us. We've heard this phrase before, have we not? In the beginning. It takes us back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning of beginnings of creation, there was God. Before anything was made that was made, there was our triune God in perfections, in glory, in the eternal, the infinite now, the infinite present of God. Where God is. And the Scripture here, John connects for us, in the beginning, in that same beginning, was, exists, the Word. The Word is God. He has always been. This is foundational to all the Bible. There exists all of Revelation. There exists all of creation. There exists all of time and space and limitation. And outside of all of that exists the one true God who eternally exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. These first two verses tell us when there was nothing, this word, He was with God. There's a clear division between God and all created things. The word's place on that division is with God, not creation. It also points to this eternal love within God as Trinity. Pure relationship, pure life, pure act, love, and holiness. In the Trinity is not a succession of events. It's not levels of nature. It is pure nature and essence of God. And there is God the Son, the Word, the Logos. And that's what he says as well in these first two verses, these first five verses. He is God. This Son, this Word, this Logos is God. There's a lot in this life we're not going to get right if we don't know who Christ is. Right? There's plenty about the life to come, life after this, that we are not going to get right if we do not know who Christ is. John begins his gospel to make explicitly clear, Jesus of Nazareth, Christ the Messiah, is none other than God made flesh. All that we've considered and celebrated in our Christmas season, all that those great Christmas hymns get profoundly right, God made man. The Son is eternally begotten of the Father. It's a doctrine of eternal generation. He is one with the Father, yet he is distinct from the Father as the Son. He is one of the divine nature, the divine essence. He is fully and wholly God. All attributes that we would attribute to God, the Son has in fullness. He is God in every fathomable way. He is God. Yet in his relation, he is distinct. He is Son. There is Father, Son, and Spirit. The only distinction between the three being their relation of origin, Father, Son, and Spirit. The Word, which is the Son, is God fully. He's fully of the divine nature and the divine essence. The Son is distinct as Son. He's altogether unique. He's altogether transcendent over all. He's altogether divine. Friends, this is the doctrine of who the Son is. He continues in verse 3. We've thought about it this year many times. In verse 3, he tells us that the Word created all things. All things were made by him. He is the source of all life and all existence. We see in God, taking us back to Genesis chapter 1, talked about here in just a moment. I'm going to mention some of the verses in Colossians we considered, that within the action of God, there is inseparable action within Father, Son, and Spirit, always fulfilling this action in perfect unity and simplicity. The action of God, Father, Son, and Spirit in creation. And here the Son, the Word, he's the source of all life and all existence. The Son is not a greater level of creation. So as some would say, as some false teaching would say, that there is creation, but then there's a higher level of creation, and the Son dwells there. No, the Son is not a higher level of creation. He stands above creation. He transcends creation. He is not of a similar category to creation. He is uncategorized. He is God. He created all things. And nothing was made apart from him. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him." Hebrews 1:2, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. And then we also read in these first five verses, the word is the divine light and life. As sovereign creator, he is the source of all life. All life. Both life to exist, to be, that we are, but also eternal life is found in the Logos, the Word, the Son. There's plenty we're not going to get right if we do not get right who Christ is, if we do not know the Word. And friends, the Bible tells us that this Word, God the Son, in Him is life. Life. And then as sovereign God, He is glorious light. Remember, we've thought about this many, many times. The doctrine of divine simplicity. God is not comprised of parts. He's not like a car with various parts placed together, and they're really great parts, and you put them together, and then you have God if we put those together. God is not comprised of parts. He is His nature, His attributes. God's nature, attributes is God. And God is identical. One author said this, God is identical with the perfections we attribute to Him. God is light, 1 John 1:5. God is love, 1 John 4:8. God is the truth. God is the life, John 14, verse 6. Who God is and what God is are identical. He is who He is, as He says to Moses from that burning bush. I am who I am, Exodus 3:14. This is divine simplicity. God is the great I am, which Jesus says of Himself, does He not? In John 8:58, I am. The Logos, the Word, God the Son is the I am. One God, eternally existing in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. Friends, know the Word. Christ is glorious. Christ is eternally God. Christ is the one who brings redemption to the world. John continues verses 6 through 13, just a sprint through these verses. He continues in verses 6 through 13, a second section of this passage, the preparation for the word through witness and response. First, in verses 1 through 5, there is the preexistence of the word in life and light. And now here in verses 6 through 13, there's the preparation for the word through witness and response. And that witness begins with the one who was called to prepare the way of the Lord, John the Baptist, to prepare the way of the Lord, verses 6 through 8. Man, John the Baptist was a unique guy, wasn't he? Clothed in camel hair, it said. He's out in the wilderness on his own. He eats locusts and honey. The honey I'm all about. Man, I love honey. But locusts? No, I can't say that I desire for that to be part of my diet. Okay? But there's John the Baptist. Called of God, uniquely prepared by God to prepare the way for the Word, to prepare the way for the Messiah. God sovereignly sent John the Baptist. Luke 1 tells us the story. For sake of time, we won't read the whole chapter, but the chapter tells us the story. Luke chapter 1. He comes, God sends His messenger to Elizabeth to speak to her of what's going to happen. Comes to Zacharias, his father, who's working in the temple, and tells him the story. Zacharias doubts. He doubts in a way to deny God, different than Elizabeth, different than Mary asking questions, and so he's struck mute until the birth of his son. God decrees that this one born will be this one prophesied. He'll be the one, as the Old Testament concludes, the prophet sent in the spirit of Elijah to prepare the way, and it will be John the Baptist. It's him. There's a truth here to be mined of God's calling on John the Baptist's life, His preparation for John the Baptist's life before even his conception. That will mess with your false understandings of human free will a little bit. John the Baptist is prepared by God. He's sent by God. He's designed by God to prepare the way for God. And he testifies of the light of the word. Allow me to read some of the verses back in Luke. I'll read again here in John 1 in just a moment, but first back in Luke. Luke chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many exhortations, he preached good news to the people. We pick up here John chapter 1 and verse 29 to 34. The next day he saw Jesus coming to him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he on behalf of whom I said, After me comes a man who has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. I did not recognize him, but so that he might be manifested to Israel, I came baptizing in water. John testified, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and he remained upon him. I did not recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in water said to me, He upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is the one who baptizes in the Holy Spirit. I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God. John the Baptist is sent to prepare the way of the Lord, to see, to testify Jesus of Nazareth, this man you know of Jesus, presumed to be the son of Joseph, the son of Mary, this man is the Christ. This man is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. And so that testimony testifies of good news, which is the gospel, which is the word, the true light, who brings redemption. Look again at verses 9 through 13. These verses tell us that the light, the creator, God the Son, he came into the world to reveal himself. He came to testify, for it to be displayed, for it to be shown through his life, his actions, his preaching, that he was the Messiah. He was the one Israel longed for. He is the fulfillment of all prophecies unto him. And he is the one who brings redemption. But their sorrow, verses 10 and 11 tell us he came to his own possession, which is the world. He's the creator of all things. But they did not know him. There is a darkness over all humanity that we do not see Christ. We do not know him. But back in verse 5, it tells us the light overcomes the darkness. Verses 12 and 13 bring it out plainly. He came to his own possession, and many will receive him. We've thought about this through our study of biblical theology. We've thought about this through our preaching through Colossians. We've thought about it here at our Christmas time, that there would be many who will receive Christ. Salvation, which is the restoration to light and life, is received by grace through believing faith in God the Son alone. Friends, that's good news. Salvation isn't something you achieve by going to church. Salvation isn't something you achieve through religious action or deeds. Salvation isn't something you receive by saying enough prayers, enough special prayers, by going through confession, by taking enough baptism or Eucharist. That's not how you get to salvation. It's by grace of God, through faith alone, in Christ Jesus alone. Praise the Lord. And it is in the Word. Friends, if you do not know the Word, there is a lot that you're not going to get right about this life, about the life to come. But the Word has been revealed. Jesus Christ has been manifest to us in the Scriptures through the good news of the gospel of Christ Jesus. Finally, here, this sprint through these verses 14 through 18, the incarnation of the Word in glory and grace. The incarnation of the Word in glory and grace. Let me read some of these verses again. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of what? The only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That one eternally generated of the Father in that infinite present and that infinite now within the Godhead, not at some point in time created, but has always been, but eternally proceeding from the Father, eternally generated of the Father, the Son, the eternal Son, took on flesh, he took on humanity, he came down into the creation he made, being made like his creation, humbling himself, taking on the form of a servant, taking on human flesh, that he might bring redemption to us. This is the glory of the incarnation, which is our celebration every Christmas season. This is the grace of Christ's revelation, God humbling himself to us, coming near to us. Verse 16 describes, for of his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. This is the glory of the only begotten Son of God revealed to us, who comes to make God known. And it's the revelation of Christ, full of grace and truth. That phrase, fullness, from his fullness, that is a loaded word. Do you remember us learning about this in Colossians? Colossians 1, verse 19, his fullness equals his divinity, that he is God. Colossians 1, 19, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. Colossians 2, verse 9, for in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. It's not as if there is the Son and the Father then puts all of his essence into the Son. It's as if the Son shares fully as he is God, as he is divine. The fullness of God dwells in Christ because he is fully God. The only distinction being their relations, Father, Son, and Spirit. Praise the Lord for the fullness of God, who then can bring salvation to us. In his humanity, he can go to the cross. He can suffer and die in our place. And as divine, he has the righteousness that we need to be applied to our account, that we can be made right with God. Praise the Lord for the Word, God the Son. And from Christ's fullness comes our gracious redemption. From God's very essence comes our salvation. What glory, what grace. Time would fail us to read of Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14, which puts Father, Son, and Spirit all in this process of redemption, the accomplishing of our redemption for us, inseparably connected, Father, Son, and Spirit, the divine God. And then the passage concludes, verses 17 and 18, the revelation, God, and this law-gospel distinction revealed in Christ. He talks about the law. The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth realized through Jesus Christ. There's this distinction between law and gospel, which we could be said in this way. What God requires in the law, he graciously provides in the gospel. All that God says, thou shalt, which we cannot keep, he provides for us in God the Son, in the gospel. The only begotten Son reveals the Father to us. Church, know the Word. Know the Word. Know the Bible, which contains the truths of the God of the Bible. Know Christ, who is the Word, the Logos, the Son. Know the Word. This is Christ, the Logos, the Word, the Son of God. All this year, all of 2023, we have sought to know Him. We've sought to make Him plain that we can study Him together. Have you grown to know Him this year? Have you grown in your knowledge and your worship, your love for Christ? Have you grown to trust Him, love Him, to find your security, to find your identity and rest in Him? Friends, this is why we spent the first half of this year exploring the grand story of the Bible, to help all of us better understand how Christ is the center of the story, to help all of us better understand how the Bible fits together. Do you remember this? Creation, fall, redemption, restoration, consummation. Do you remember us talking about that? We talked about creation, God's covenant with Adam. We talked about the fall. Then there's the flood, God's covenant with Noah. The Tower of Babel. God comes to Abraham and calls Abraham, God's covenant with him. There's the sons of Jacob, and God works through Jacob, and he has those promises to Judah. The line, the promise of the one to come is narrowed through the Bible, biblical revelation. There's the Exodus from Egypt, the giving of the Old Testament law, or God's covenant through Moses. There's the conquest of the land. King David shows up on the scene, and God makes a special covenant with David. David, who is of the son of Judah, which is traced back to Abraham, traced all the way back to Adam. We remember, we trace the division of the kingdom and the loss of the land because of idolatry. The promise of the prophets of the new covenant. We saw the birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ. The revelation of the gospel of Jesus, which is the new covenant, which is the kingdom of Christ. We thought about the birth of the church, which is the new covenant, the kingdom of Christ made visible. The growth of the church unto the return of Christ to rule and reign forever. We trace together from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, the grand story, the revelation of Jesus Christ made plain. Do you see the grand story of the Bible? Do you see God's plan of redemption for a people from every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, as Revelation says, unto His singular people forever? Do you see how all the promises of God given to Israel are fulfilled in Christ Jesus? And through Christ comes the gospel unto the church? Do you know the Word? Have you grown to know the Word this year? I hope you have. I pray that you have. Friends, as John 1 here tells us, this is Christ, the Logos, the Word. This is why we spent the second half of 2023 studying the book of Colossians, that you might know the Word. Do you remember the theme of Colossians here? Christ is all. Christ is supreme. And Christ is sufficient. We studied in Colossians how all spiritual formation and growth is in Christ. Chapter 1, verse 1 through 14. We studied how Christ is the firstborn, the first place over everything. He's preeminent over all things. Chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. He's the head of the church. We studied how we are reconciled to God through Christ alone. Chapter 1, verse 20 through 23. We saw how all ministry is unto the Lord in Christ. We saw how Christ is all over all world philosophies in chapter 2. We saw how true spiritual freedom is found in Christ, also in chapter 2. We studied how we live for heaven, seeking where Christ is, not the things of this world, chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. We learned how we're made a new humanity in Christ, how we're to put off sin and put on Christ, chapter 3, verses 5 through 17. We studied how our households are changed, marriage is changed, families are changed, our workplace is changed, all in putting on Christ, chapter 3, verse 18 through chapter 4, verse 1. And we learned that our lives are lived for Christ till our final breath, chapter 4, and remaining verses of chapter 4. All of Colossians shining this beacon on, shining this spotlight on, all of Colossians pointing us to know Christ, who is the Word, to know Him, that He is supreme and that He is sufficient. Friend, what have you learned of Christ through Colossians? Is He bigger to you? Is He more glorious? Is He more trustworthy, more beautiful, more the joy of your heart? Have you grown to know the Word, the Logos of John 1, this year? I hope that you have. 2023, it's coming to an end. Here we are at the end. We began the year looking to Christ, so we conclude the year with our attention and our focus on Christ. Our theme has been to know the Word, and I sincerely hope you have. Week after week, standing in this place, preaching the Scriptures, that you and I together may know the Word, to know Christ. Friends, isn't He worthy? Isn't He good? Is not Christ what truly satisfies the heart? He is so good. Amen? He is so good. All glory be to Christ. All praise be to Christ. I don't know a better way to conclude 2023 than in together again this year. We've done this a couple times this year. And to conclude our service in this way, to step from the final hours of this year into the early hours, which I doubt many of us are still going to be up at that time, but the early hours of the new year, but in reciting together again, reading together again the Nicene Creed, to confess together with the church for centuries before us, the church now, as long as the Lord will tarry, the church as it continues to grow and worship Him, what we believe about our great God and what we confess as true of Christ Jesus the Lord. So I'd ask you, as conclusion of our service today, this is how we will respond. This is our time of response. Would you stand with me once again, and let's read together the Nicene Creed. As we've done in the past, we'll do the same here together. There'll be portions. I'll read a portion. We'll read it all together, but just to make it work this way, there's a portion I will read. You'll see that marked there in blue. The congregation will read the part in red. Excuse me. I'll read that with you together to kind of lead that time, and then we'll conclude that all together in the end. So we confess together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. And He shall come again with glory, both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who was the Father and the Son together, is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one Catholic and apostolic church, and I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. This was the belief of the apostles as they preached Christ, as the church began. This was the belief of the early church as they continued to send out the gospel message outward, which came all the way forward till one day someone shared Christ with you, and you heard the truth of Christ and by His grace believed. And so we continue to preach, We continue to testify. We continue to sing until the day comes when our Savior returns. We'll know His face and we'll be with Him forevermore. All glory be to Christ. Amen, church. All glory be to Christ, who has come, who has ascended, and who will come again.